Well, this morning, I don't know if any of you remember the last time I preached, but I was trying to figure out a illustration, and I couldn't get that cat's head back in the mayonnaise jar, so I had to come up with something else. So, two, good. I was wondering. That was just a test to see how many pay attention. This morning, I have been challenged here for the last few weeks about what does it mean to be part of the body of Christ? Why do we gather? What are we doing here? Is it just a Sunday meeting so we can feel good about ourselves, or possibly is there something deeper to that? And so we're going to talk about that this morning, but I was, as we were driving home last night, I was telling Natalie, I'm like, man, I just can't think of a good intro, a good, like, catch 'em kind of thing. And she's like, well, what about that one time? I was like, oh, yeah, that one time. So this is that one time. Natalie and I, we were first married, I think, like right within the first few months. And needless to say, one of us was struggling with independence and what it meant to ask for help. I'm not going to say who that was. But I came home from work, I think, or school or something. And I came home and Natalie was like, just, oh, my back is just killing me. Really, what happened? I don't know. My, it's just hurting really bad. I can't even move. And I was like, huh, interesting. And then I got to looking around the house, and I'm like, this furniture wasn't here before or earlier today when I was here. And I was like, well, where? I was like, well, I just moved all this furniture in, and I was like, by yourself? Well, yeah, I just kind of moved it. I was like, I would have been home in like 10 minutes. And then I got to looking, and there was one dresser that was not only huge, but it was heavy. And we were living in an apartment, and there was a parking lot that had an up ramp and into the house and then up the stairs. And I'm like, how did you physically, like, how? Not why, but how did? She's like, well, I just kind of grabbed it and just kind of monkey walked it, like, all the way from the car up here. I'm like, I was like, I don't feel bad for you at all right now. At all. I said, I'm 10 minutes. Well, I just thought I would do it. I said, no, I think I even said, that is dumb. I slept on the couch that night. I'm glad she brought it in so I could sleep on it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I got to thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, that kind of attitude in a marriage, we talked about it, it's like you're no longer yourself. You're no longer all about you. It's almost doing a disservice not to realize that you're in this to serve somebody else and they're in it to serve you. And in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Paul is where he talks about wives, you have the role that you play in a marriage, and husband, the role that you play in the marriage might be different, but the heart attitude of those roles is to do it as Christ did for the church. And what did Christ do? He gave up everything, humbled himself to serve, to be a part of. And he said, God, I don't want to do this. He said, but here's what you've called me to, and here's what I have to give, and I'm going to give it. And the same way that we're called to do that in a marriage, in that same passage it says, and also in the body of Christ. Also in the body of Christ. We're not called to be here just to be here. We've got a purpose and a reason and a part to play that's not just something that you should do, but something that we as the body need you to do. We're all important, we're all valuable, and we're all honored. Amen? Good. Why don't you stand this morning? We're going to read our passage of Scripture. We're going to be in Romans. If I'm not putting it on the screen, so this, most of you should know, this is the Bible. If you have it, turn in it to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to start just a few verses before our passage this morning, but it says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it or use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that through your word this morning, we could grow in you. I pray that you would reveal this to us. Help us to not just hear words and grow intellectually, but I pray that this would penetrate our hearts so that we could be transformed into who you've called us to. Praise your name. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. I really like this portion of scripture. The first two verses that we read are those coffee cup verses. You know what I'm talking about? Like the verses you put on your coffee cup. So as you're drinking, and if you can read upside down, you can get a little taste of them, right? I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Now, when Paul is sharing these to the Roman church, we often go, oh, cool, like that's something that I should do, personally, me. I shouldn't be, and I should offer my body as a living sacrifice. But if you put that into what it's meaning, it's talking about doing that as a point of, and for the purpose of, contributing your part to the body of Christ. It's saying, yeah, do this. I urge you, do this. This is something that's great, but do it because God has called you to play such a crucial role in the body of Christ. And so this morning, we're going to, with those in mind, we're going to study what it means to be part of the body of Christ. So here we go. So in verse 3, it says this, "For by the grace given me." Now, when Paul says this, he's not really saying something like nice, like, "I humbly say to you." Really what he's saying is, y'all need to listen to what I'm saying. "By the grace given me." Do you remember the road to Damascus? I got knocked off my horse and the blinded and this and that, and then God called me to be an apostle because he was going to speak through me. You remember that? Okay, so now listen. This isn't me. This is God's word to you, and it's important. He played his credential apostle card here. Like, you have to listen. God said so. So he's saying this is super important. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." So what does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? If we're going to understand that, we need to, first and most, one of the most importantly, is capture what this verse here is saying, verse 3, that we need to change our thinking. We need to change the way we think. It says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. Now, I was a little perplexed by this. I was like, okay, more highly than you ought. Like, don't be prideful. Okay. It means something much deeper than don't be prideful. Because have you ever noticed that we think of ourselves a lot and it comes out in one of two ways? It can either come out as like, oh, look what I did. I'm pretty cool. Look at me. I did that thing, or I greeted at the door because I'm excellent and you all should be glad I'm here. How many would admit to those thoughts? Nobody, right? No. They might sneak in. They might not be that exaggerated, but we sometimes have a motive of selfishness because we're very proud of ourselves. Look at that. That's thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. But there's another side to that too, where thinking of yourself more highly than you ought can look like, man, I don't know if I have much to give. I don't know if I could, I don't know how that would turn out. I'm a little scared of that. I don't have time for that. Right? Thinking of yourself more highly than you ought is not just a matter of being prideful. It's thinking of your self. Because the next verse says to think of yourself with sober judgment. And when we look at what that means, that's one of Paul's, he loves using this little term here. Because if you look at the actual meaning of that, it's not what you're thinking about, per se, but the platform from which your thinking is coming. Where did those thoughts start? What is the beginning of your thoughts? It's how you're thinking, your platform. Because if we're thinking me, individual, it's always going to come out of thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Whether you're thinking lowly or highly of yourself, it comes out from the same platform. But think of yourself with sober judgment. How? What's the platform? In accordance with the measure of faith that God's given you. That looks like this. God, I realize you have transformed me, changed me. You've loved me. And now, whatever I can give, I'm going to do it. I'm giving this to you, for your body. Do you see the difference? There's no I. It's all about God. So what does it look like to be part of the body of Christ? It means to realize who he has made you to be. And our response to that is a living sacrifice. That's our spiritual act of worship. Not conforming to this pattern of me that this world sometimes leads us to. But it's being renewed. What's our platform? Sober thinking, sober judgment, going, God, I realize it's not about me. And a side note of that, you know, I think a lot of times we come before God, and how many have children in here? Good. Let me ask you this, as a dad or a mom, what if your kids came to you, and every time they came to you, it was this? Okay, picture little 8-year-old Grayson. Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm garbage. I'm trash. I just can't. And I'm so, you know, like, what is wrong with you, kid? Like, no, you're not. You're my son who I love. Like, stop doing that. We need to come to God and say, it's not about us. There's no, you can't humble yourself low enough and still be thinking about yourself. It's got to be God. Thanks for renewing me. There's some great verses that talk about who we are in Christ. If you go to Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do his good works, which he prepared for us in advance." God made you to do amazing things. Some of you are like, yep, I know. Stop! That's not the right thought. And some of you are going, me? Oh, never me. Stop! That's not the right thought. You're his workmanship, praise God, for good things. Good? Can we go? Okay, good. I'm going to read another verse anyway. John 1:12, I like this one. It says this. Let me find it. John 1:12 says this. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. Full heirs. Amen? That's good, isn't it? So in order to realize what it means to be part of the body of Christ, the first and foremost thing we have to do is change our thinking, renew our mind. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but with sober judgment, with the measure of faith that's been given you. And then our next point is this. We need to adjust our standing. Let me explain that. It says this, "In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each one of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ." In Christ. That word "in" is very purposeful. You'll find that word "in Christ" a lot in the Bible. I was reading a commentary that said, you know, many of us operate as if we are simply under Christ. What does that mean? Well, to be under something means to just kind of be there. And some of us operate as if we're just under the title of Christian. Yeah, I'll do what the Bible says. Sounds good. I'll come to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. Sure, I'll do the right things. But often that is still operating out of the thinking of me, I. When he's saying, don't just be under that title of Christ, he's called us to be in Christ. In means to be among, to be fully enveloped, to be a full part of. He's calling us to a relationship with Christ that also manifests and transforms itself into a relationship with the body of Christ. That is all about serving and giving to him. We need each other. The world might say you're good on your own. I don't know if that leaks into Norwegian thinking, but it does into German a little bit. I got it, I'm good. But we need each other, don't we? We need this body of Christ. And not just your group of friends. You need the body of Christ and they need you. So we need to adjust our thinking to simply just being here, being under that title, to realizing that we are in Christ. There's a very, very, very convicting verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" That doesn't sound like evil things. But he said, "Away from me, you evil doers. I never knew you." That verse should cause us a little bit of alarm in our hearts to go, okay, where are my motives? Where am I operating out of? Is my platform that I'm thinking from all about God and all about Jesus and just being so humbled and thankful for who he's made me and what he's done with me? And is that leading me to a point of just not being under the church, like, yeah, I'll come to church? It says, "Away from me, you evildoers." There's another verse that talks almost the same thing that says, this religion is worthless. That's a strong word. I mean, it's got to be worth something, right? I mean, at least we're doing the right things. He says, worthless. Why? Because we're not getting it. What's his big complaint there? What's God's big thing? He said, "I don't know you." And I think that would be very easily translated because you don't know him. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for not you just to float through and do the thing, but be part of the body of Christ. Be in Christ. That's a good one. I can tell because it's quiet in here. I like that. Man, what a convicting thing, but what a great thing. And this shouldn't bring anything but freedom and joy. To be like, what, I don't have to be by myself? I don't have to do it by myself? No, you don't. God's called you to play your role, to play it well, but to play it humbly and say, God, I just want to be in. So we have to change the way we think. And we have to adjust how we're standing. We're not just under, but we're in Christ. And then the last thing, what does it look like to be part of the body of Christ, is you have to accept your fitting. You have to accept how you fit and where you fit. This is hard for us to do. It's really hard. But if you look at this verse here again, let's keep reading back to Romans. It says this. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you hear that? Belongs to We don't like that. That sometimes that doesn't ring well with our, but that's the way God designed it. We each have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. Teaching, let him teach. Encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's this great passage where Paul is again talking on the same thing about spiritual gifts. And it's the same thing where people are uplifting some gifts over others, and they're exalting some people while ignoring others. And he gives this list. And right after he says it, he says, each one, he says, because we have the same spirit. If it's prophesying, do it because we're of the same spirit. And if it's giving, it's because it's out of the same spirit. There's no better or worse when it comes to that. There's no like, oh, I wish I could do that. When we're operating out of that platform of it's all about God and his grace and what he's done, there's no better, worse, or indifferent. There's the same spirit that should bring unity and togetherness. There's no pride. There's no room for that. And I love this because it talks so deeply about accepting who God has made you. And sometimes we struggle with that. Because a lot of times we exalt certain things and we lift up certain things and we maybe ignore others, or we, in ourselves even, we're like, oh, I'm not really, we don't even realize that we're not giving something so useful. And there is a distinct difference between natural abilities and spiritual gifts. And we need to understand that. Here's an example. So a natural ability is a God-given talent that you have, and you are responsible for developing. So I can take me for example. Like, music is something that I would say is a natural gifting that God has given me, but it's not a supernatural thing, musical talent. Okay. It's just an ability God's given me, and I say, God, I'm going to use this for you, but it's up to me to develop it. And each of us have those. All of us. So if someone were to come up to me, hey, that song was great. Oh, thanks. You know, I practiced that and worked on it. Thank you. Realizing, yeah, God gave that to me, and I can be thankful for that, and I can give that to him. But then there's also spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are different because spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit working through us that are only developed by our relationship and the maturity we have in Christ. They're not things that I can practice. Like, let's say I'm leading worship, maybe God works through a way where, you know, he gives me a discernment about something, and then God really touches somebody through that, right? And then they come up to me, man, that worship was just great. God really spoke to me. And I respond with, oh, thanks, I really practiced that. I really worked hard about finding out how the Spirit would move. No, you don't practice that. We've got to be humble enough to realize that God uses our gifts and our talents, but beyond that, beyond our gifts and our talents, when we mature in our relationship with him, he also works through us in a way that's so supernatural and so amazing. But sometimes we're just not willing to let him do it because we're holding back of ourselves. Either we're self-conscious or we're holding back. And we don't see the value of the gift God has given us. We don't see the value of the way that he works through us supernaturally to help others, to help the body. Like, have you ever seen, how amazing is it when somebody that has this gift of giving, this gift, and God uses that to meet needs that we didn't even know. Nobody really, there was no way they would know existed. Or how cool is it when somebody has that gift of hospitality And God uses that to bless and touch and encourage. Or when somebody has the gift of wisdom or discernment, or somebody has the gift of knowledge and teaching, and they just humbly say, God, use that. And then God takes that and does something so mind-blowing because they just said, I'm humble. Or if you have the gift of like cleaning and organizing and administrating, God bless you. There's a reason God knew I would need to be married to somebody with that gift. I would be, and sometimes am, an utter mess. But then there's the ability to take that natural gifting of administrating, and as you mature in your relationship, God uses that supernaturally with these spiritual gifts to just do things that you're like, what in the world? Thank you. But that only comes when we understand we have to change our thinking. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And then we change our standing. We adjust it to go, I'm not just going to be here. I'm not just going to be here doing whatever. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be all in for Christ. I'm going to offer myself humbly. And then we say, God, I don't know why you made me this way, but this is how I've been made. And so use this for your body. Use it. How challenging is it? It says, we belong to each other. That means I belong to the body of Christ. Not just I get to give myself when I want to, but I'm a part of it. I belong to it. And I think it's important for us to also realize that, you know, in this passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul is talking on this, I want to say this very carefully, and I don't want to make this offensive. I want you to get what he's saying, but he doesn't promise that all the gifts we have are going to be on the same level of importance. He doesn't promise that everything is going to be equally important in our own eyes. And that's kind of why sometimes we exalt some things over others, because in our eyes we see them as this, oh, that's more important than what I do. Well, that's way more important. Or we go, what I do is way more important than that. And there is some truth to that. There is some truth. Like if I were to ask you, okay, would you rather lose a finger or an eyeball? Probably most of us would be like, yeah, take the finger. Maybe, hopefully. I would. Or let's do this. What if I were to say, okay, you're going to lose one finger, but you get to pick which one it is. I might not know which ones you would pick, but I would know which one you wouldn't pick. Am I right? This might be more important than these. Okay, but what he challenges us to do is he says, you know what? Those things that are more important, don't honor them like that. Man, it's important, but don't exalt it. But those things that we maybe don't view as important, honor those things. Value them. Realize that those things are so necessary and valuable and useful. And that starts in us. We got to go, man, what I have to give is so valuable and honorable. And I'm going to give it honorably and humbly. And I'm not going to compare myself. I'm not going to try to be like anybody else. I'm just going to say, this is who I am. God, take this. Use it for your glory, your good. And he will. And he does. And he is. Probably in ways we don't even know. We are not meant to be alone. We are not meant to do this by ourselves. We are meant and called and created to be a part of this amazing body of Christ, to be part of something bigger than ourselves and bigger than we can imagine. I have this great little illustration I want to show you. I love this. You might hate it, but that's your problem. So I was watching TED Talks. Do you know what TED Talks are? Ideas Worth Sharing. That's their theme. And in this, there was a composer that he writes songs for choirs and stuff like that. And he was talking about how one day he composed a song. Then a buddy of his called him and said, hey, you got to check out this video. This gal recorded herself singing the like soprano two part of that song he wrote. So like, oh, that's kind of cool. So he watched it, and all of a sudden he had this light bulb. He said, I wonder what it would be like to take people and have them record the parts and then put it together and just see what happens. And so what he did is he took himself and he just recorded himself directing to nothing, just empty. He was directing the song. There might be, I don't know, there might have been a piano behind it or something. But then people all over the world, actually the one we're going to watch, 3,764 different voices from 57 different countries turned in these videos, and he put them together. And what I want us to get out of this is I actually pulled out some of the auditions, and I'm going to make you listen to those. They're kind of as good of singers as they are. I kept having to shorten that part of it because it was just driving. I was like, oh, that's so irritating to listen to. But I want you to capture individually one song and then that same song together. And then we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is really cool, so why don't you check this out?
Thank you.
Isn't that cool? But what a contrast. What a contrast from those individuals in their room, their house, doing whatever, in front of a computer, to that. And he had testimony of people that would say, man, it was so cool. I live in like the bush, Alaska, and it's just so cool to be part of something. We are designed, created to need, to want, to desire that kind of fellowship, that kind of meaning, that kind of hope, that, man, we get to offer our gifts and ourselves as part of something so much bigger than ourselves. It doesn't matter how talented or good you are at something or how, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't, that's not important. What's important is how willing we are to give it and to humbly give of ourselves. So we as the body need you. And you as an individual need the body of Christ. That's the way God made us. And it's cool. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that is so amazing. And in your infinite wisdom and in your power and in your grace, you've created us and created us with a purpose to be a part of a body of Christ that is so much bigger than we are. And we get to be a part of that. But Lord, I hope and pray that you would help us to understand that the commitment to that, the transformation that brings is something that you have to do in our hearts. Help us to grab onto that on a level that it just changes us, and then you're able to work through us in ways that are so much bigger. Help us to value those around us, and help us to value this community of believers, both here in Big Timber and across the world. Thanks for the place we play in that. Thanks for your different giftings and different wirings. And we are so thankful. God, we are so incredibly thankful. So help us. We need to jump in and just quit being just simply here, but we need to jump in. Help us to see that and help us to do that. And if we need to adjust our attitudes because we're too prideful and we're thinking more highly of ourselves, or we're allowing our self-doubts to get in the way of what you're doing, work through our weakness, God. So we love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory in your name. Amen.